Hey, y'all, just as a heads up, my production team and I are taking a break from recording to celebrate two holidays, Labor Day and the also very important Sarah and Maya's anniversary. So we'll be back with the next episode on Tuesday, September 21st.
And you feel love when you feel empathy for the others, no? That you're not just thinking about yourself and your ego. When you're aware that we are in a world and we live with nature and nature is part of us and we are part of nature, that's like a high human conscience. And love, being human is feeling love for yourself, for the others, and for nature.
What's up, y'all? It's me here, Michael Fronti, and welcome to the Stay Human podcast. I'm super, super excited this week because I have one of my favorite bands in the world, or one of the artists from my favorite bands in the world, Bomba Estéreo. They were founded in Colombia in 2006 by musician Simon Mejia and singer Lee Somet. And together they created a unique project that would become one of the most attractive music groups in the world. And throughout his career, Simone has toured all over the world, playing the stages of some of the most prestigious music festivals, clubs, and venues, while also attracting millions of people to his eclectic avant-garde fusion of electronic and Caribbean and Latin sounds and cumbia and all kind of African vibes, jazz, everything, funk, all mixed into one. They have such a beautiful sound, eclectic sound. And for those of you who've never heard it, I hope this is an opening for you guys. As you know, on this show, I love to turn you guys on to new music. And as always, we are presented by the great Gibson Guitar. So please welcome to the show, musician Simon Mejia. How you doing, Simon?
Hey, hello, Michael. Fine, man. Happy to be talking across the globe.
Yeah, it's global. I'm in Bali and Simone is in Bogota, Colombia today. How is it there right now? What time is it anyway?
It's very early in the morning, 7 a.m., but I'm an early riser. I like to work in the mornings. I have two kids as well. So my day starts usually at 6:30 a.m. So it's normal nice. For me to be up. And also I like to make music in the morning more than at night. Usually musicians work in studios and everything at night. I like to work in the morning. I like the energy of the morning better.
What do you like about it? What is it about the morning that is different than the night?
I think it has to do with the sun and with the light, and also with how your mind is after sleeping, no? Because and usually when you end up the day, the night has its things, obviously, and has its things for the mind as well. But I think when the day passes, you're a bit tired and the mind has received a lot of information from the world, no? Like from the real world. Mm-hmm. Then after sleeping, you have information from the unconscious world that is usually more interesting than the real world. And you're more like relaxed and more with more rest. And the sun, man, the sun, I think the energy of the music that we make and the energy of the music that grows and comes from Colombia is from the sun, no? And like this Caribbean and the tropics and everything is very related to the sun.
Yeah. I hear that in your music, and it's one of the things that I love about it. And my music is touched in a similar way. I love writing songs about optimism and just the feeling that the sun brings me. You know, that sometimes I got to stop myself because I'm like, oh man, I'm writing another song about the sun. You know, like, but it's always present in my life. You know, and I think of back in, you know, historical times. You know, I grew up in a Christian family, so we would read about the sun worshipers, and in the Bible, the sun worshipers are like bad. They're like evil people. But I'm like, what could be wrong with giving thanks for the sun every day? It's the thing that like makes us warm. It provides us with our food. It gives us light to see each other, you know, and when it gets dark, things get scary and things, accidents can happen and the dark spirits come out. So what's wrong with, you know, practicing gratitude for the sun? Your music brings me that. So has that always been a part of your life? Like from when you were a kid, did you start off wanting to be a musician, or what was your early childhood like?
Yeah, no, not so much. Actually, I didn't study music. I didn't go to the music academy. Okay. But since I was a kid, I was really like sensitive to music. And in my family, my father's and my mother, there wasn't any artist or musician. I'm like the first artist in the whole family. But my parents were part of the 70s generation, you know, the hippie generation here in Colombia. It was obviously here listening to rock and roll music and Motown music and all that, those influences that came from Europe and the States, but also really strong listeners to salsa music, like Fania, mm-hmm. Fania Records, and all that salsa from New York, and Ruben Blades, and Willie Colon, and Hector Lavoe, and all that Fania movement was part of the hippie movement here. So the record collection that my parents had and I inherited, like the vinyl, is mostly with rock and roll and salsa music and everything. And I was always very curious about those records. And when I saw them listening to music, I was very curious and I was asking things and everything. So my ears were like open to music. But then I started, my mother sensed that in me, like my sensitive to music, and put me into piano lessons when I was a kid. So I learned music playing piano, and I read music and everything. Today, I don't read any music. I lost that. But I read music and I did some piano lessons. And then I grew up a little bit when I was more or less a teenager. I changed from piano to guitar, obviously, to play rock music, because I didn't want to read classical pieces, but I wanted to play rock songs. So I took the guitar and I had some guitar lessons. And then I stopped studying and just continued my musical journey by ear. But in the beginning was mainly having rock bands in the 90s, well, even heavy metal bands I had.
Okay.
So it was like rock, heavy metal, then alternative music like The Cure and everything. Mm-hmm. And then when electronic music started strong in Colombia, like in the late 90s, more or less in the middle and 90s, because in Colombia everything comes after, you know, all the fashion, all the world fashions come after here. Electronic music came very strong, and I got really involved with electronic music and producing music with computer and machines and everything. And I left aside the instruments and started making music with machines. Wow. And that was more or less the beginning of Bomba Estéreo. But then I incorporated again the knowledge I had with the keyboards and the guitar, and incorporated that into electronic music and with folk music. And because at the beginning, with this electronic music, I was trying to, I don't know, like copy the international style, trying to make like techno and house music and, you know, this European and American styles. But at one point I was asking myself, what's the purpose of trying to copy electronic music that sounds even better in London or in Berlin or in New York or Detroit or whatever? Why don't I try to make like a Colombian electronic music, you know, like electronic music that sounds Latin, that sounds local?
Yeah.
So I started like, okay, electronic music is dance music. What's our dance music here in Colombia with the folk music, you know, like cumbia, salsa, all like this traditional tropical music that is the music that we dance to here in Colombia traditionally, mm-hmm. you know, and all the festivities and everything, we dance to this music. So what happens if we blend these two worlds, you know, like the international dance music with the local dance music? And I began experimenting in the studio with those two sounds. Now that was the beginning of Bomba Estéreo, trying to, make an electronic music that was us and that was original to Latin America and to Colombia and wasn't a copy of whatever culture outside, no?
Yeah. I'm very curious about what you're talking about, your family, and about the hippie movement in Colombia. You know, in America, the hippie movement was taking place, you know, in the late 60s and early 70s. It was a reaction to, you know, the conservatism and conservative values that were in our country. But it was also in response to the Vietnam War that was taking place, and just an opening up of society, of young people saying, we don't want to just go to work, go to a job and die, you know? And I'm curious what was happening in Colombia at the time that led to that hippie generation, and how did your parents get involved in that? What kind of families did they come from?
Well, here in Colombia, this is a very traditional country, a very conservative country. I assume, because I was a very small kid, you know, back in that time. But I assume that it was not so political as in the United States. It was not a revolution, but more or less was kind of copying a fashion, like an international fashion. But I assume there were more political sides of the thing, you know, especially in the arts, in writers and everything. Because here in Colombia, since the 60s, we've been in war. Still today. Mm-hmm. And we have lived very, very violent situations and very, very deep problems. At the same time, this is a really rich country in terms of nature and in terms of biodiversity and everything, and it's a very rich country in terms of natural psychedelic, you know, plants,
yeah,
and at the same time chemical you know, drugs. So basically it was the paradise for any hippie in the world to be
hippie
here
paradise.
In Colombia. So many people from North America came, many hippie came to Colombia, and I assume that influenced the movement here. But it never got to the point that got in San Francisco or in London or in New York or whatever, that it was almost a revolution that never came to be, you know? It was a cultural revolution, but the political side of the revolution never was. I think today we're living, or we're seeing a more, or I hopefully we'll see a real political revolution in the world, no? Like a change, a real change of system and of politics and everything. I see the beginning of that.
But
my parents said they were really partying and everything, and I assume they enjoy it at least.
Okay. And so when you were a child growing up, did you go to traditional schools? Was that part of your life, or were you homeschooled? Or
no, I did the traditional schools. Well, my parents were divorced since I was a baby, you know? So I grew up with my mother, really. Mm-hmm. And I went to traditional schools. I lived a couple of years in Argentina as well. Actually, I started the piano lessons and everything in Argentina, because my mother fell in love with an Argentinian musician. That's like a classical thing here in Colombia. Like, all women are like with the Argentinians. Oh, they're really handsome people, no? So, and very good musicians. So I started music there in Argentina. And I lived like 3 or 4 years in Argentina and Uruguay, and then came back to Colombia and did all my school in a traditional school. A very conservative school, you know, and then after, when I ended up school, I didn't want to study music, but arts. I'm a visual artist. Okay. I studied visual arts, and actually I still do it, no? I'm very involved with the documentary world, no? Like creative and musical documentaries. Mm-hmm. And has been like my two artistic flows, music and visual arts, documentaries, video arts, installations, photography.
You know, when I think of Bomba Estéreo, I don't just think of the music. I think of the visuals as well as the music. And the videos that you guys make are so beautiful. They're so graphic. They're so funny at times. But they're colorful, and they tell stories of people's dreams, of people's imagination. And how involved are you in that aspect of making the videos, the visuals, the colors, all those things?
100%, 100%, because we like, me and Liliana, we are very, very deep and very, obviously, well, at the beginning, we ourselves directed some videos, but then we started like working with directors and everything, but we're really involved in the process. Obviously, we let the director like go with his vision, but we're really, really into it, and we like to do it. And I think that video, the video clip language, is really special because it's like in the audiovisual languages or whatever, it's like the one that has more freedom, no? That mm-hmm. has more freedom at the same time that more people see, no? So it's a good platform to share ideas beyond just people singing to the camera, no? You can share interesting ideas through video clips. And it's in terms of experimentation, it's like a white canvas, no? So it's we love the process and our videos. Yeah, we try them to be special, not only about singers singing to a camera and looking nice and everything, but telling a story and telling strong stories.
Yeah. When you were a kid growing up and you were describing, you know, your parents divorced, what was that time in your life like as a child? You know, you're growing up in a country that has difficult conditions unto itself, and now your family splits up. And what was that like for you? You were in, you know, many different difficult situations there.
Yeah, but because I don't have like a conscious memory of that because I was a baby, you know. So when I grew up, it was normal to me that my father lived in another place and I lived with my mother, and my mother had other couples and everything. So it was kind of normal. It was only when I grew up a little that I was conscious of that, that it was a little bit sad, but I was, you know, grown up enough so I could handle it. No? So it mm-hmm. was never really an issue for me. Especially the good thing about when you have divorced parents is that holidays you can go to other places, no? Because you have to go and visit your father. So you travel, and I travel alone, and you know they sent me in the planes with the stewardess just by myself. So that was a whole adventure, you know. And I liked that, and in terms of the country, I also became conscious when I was even more a grown-up, you know, about mm-hmm. the situation that we still live in Colombia. And today is, I think, is the worst of all, you know, of all the history of Colombia. Today we're living the worst. So that thing with the situation of the country, I'm feeling it right now, like really, really strong, you know, because I'm grown up. I understand the context and everything. And wow, man, we're passing a difficult one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I think of your music, I don't think of it necessarily being directly political, but I see it as being humanistic, and I see it as being music that connects humanity with nature. And I see those images in the videos too. I'd like to talk to you about the video for Soyo, which is, you know, been seen by 120 million viewers now. And for people who have never seen it, it's just about a little girl who's walking down the street and all the different people that she comes to interact with from the eyes of, you know, she's probably 7, 8 years old girl, and all the different people on the street that she comes to interact with. Tell me about that video.
That video, yeah, it's really, I think it's the strongest video that we have, and the simplest one, you know, because mm-hmm. it's really simple video, and I think it's the most low budget video we've made, and it's the biggest video we have, you know. It's like mm-hmm. it's amazing. The story was really beautiful because we were pitching in this platform in internet. That you pitch is like a platform for directors, for video clip directors.
Yeah.
So you go in and you pitch, you put your song and you say, hey, we're Bomba Estéreo from Colombia. We have this song of this album and we're looking for treatments for the video. So we put it there and lots of directors from all over the world were like pitching and pitching stuff. And one director from Denmark came with the idea, for the video, that it was really strange because we're from Colombia. Denmark is a total different, climate, weather, everything's different in Denmark. And we're cool, man. We'd love to see how a Danish thinks of our music. So we said, like, cool, man. So he had this idea of the girl and everything. And we, let's try to do something in Denmark with a girl that has nothing to do with Latin culture or whatever, like a, I don't know, blonde, blue-eyed girl in Denmark that has something happens to her. And he was like, no, I want to make this video in New York with this kind of person and this and that. And then we were like, well, okay, go ahead, man. And he went and do it in New York, really small production, small budget, everything, a simple story with this girl. The casting was like a very good casting with this girl that is a Latin immigrant in the US, in New York. And he did this story. And in back in the time when we released the video was the elections for when the first Trump round, Trump was present. So when the video came out and it was so strong that it was used for the Latin community as a part of the campaign for the Latins not to vote for Donald Trump, and they used the song as part of the campaign and everything. It became like a huge Latin anthem for the immigrants in the States, and that was beautiful. That was beautiful because we never expected something like that. And the song, the lyrics of the song are really special because it's like about human, more than human, like to empower who you are besides what people think about you. What's important is who you are and what's inside of you, more than how do you look, where you come from, what's your skin color, what's your, I don't know, race and everything. Is fight for who you are, and that's the only thing that matters. So it was, everyone was really connected. Like, I feel connected with this girl in the video. When I was a kid, I was the same girl in school that everyone was bullying because I was, I don't know, Latin and a little bit fat and everything. So it was really beautiful, a really beautiful process with the video. And and like the image that the director got from the lyrics to put in this girl's character.
Mm-hmm. When you think back on your own childhood, do you relate to that girl in the video?
Yeah, kind of, because when I was a kid, I was fatty, I was like a chubby. So people in school were bullying me for that. And when I lived in Argentina, they were bullying me because I was a Colombian and you're a drug trafficker. And I, the fat Colombian drug trafficker, and that, those kind of stupid things. So in more or less, I think... Everyone in school, even though you were like a kind of a model and then the most pretty in the school, they suffered bullying, in some kind of way or another, because that's the dynamics in school, Kids bully, that's like a reality. So, but there are different levels of bullying, So, and then this one was really special because it had to do with immigration in the United States. That is such a huge issue and a huge situation.
When you started to feel like, man, maybe this is something I could do, music, at what point did you start to really step into it and say, man, maybe I could do this for a living, or,
but I never thought it as a living. I knew I could make it at the moment I started making bands, like when I was teenager and started just making cover bands and playing covers and then playing music on my own. That step from playing covers to writing music, I said, okay, I can write music, no? And I enjoy writing music and sitting on the guitar or the piano and just playing and enjoying myself with it. And that's the thing that I still like more about music, is that you enjoy it with yourself while you are doing it. It's kind of a thing for yourself.
Yeah.
Then you put out to the world, but the intimate moment is like for yourself, and you feel connected with the flow of music, and you disconnect from the real world and everything. And I felt that since the moment I played instruments. And then I just had it like as a hobby, you know, because in school and everything and in the world, especially here in Colombia, you're actually the school never tells you that, yeah, man, do a career with music and everything, but they are trying to push you to other ways, no? Like you have to make money and everything, and you never relate music with making a career and making money and making a living out of it, because here in Colombia, culture is not so strong as in Europe or in the States, no? So very difficult to make a living from music here in Colombia. So I always had it like at the side, no? Like as a hobby, and I do it in my free times and everything. And Bomba Estéreo, when we started Bomba Estéreo, it was also kind of a side project besides my real jobs. And then it, from one moment to another, it became our job. But we weren't thinking about, okay, we want to live from music and we're going to do this and we're going to do this career. But it just happened in the middle of playing at shows and everything, and then more shows and more shows. And then we realized we're living out of music, no? We're touring. It was very organic, a very organic process.
Yeah. What was it like for you? You know, you start touring and now you're all in this, you know, just it's continuous, right? And then last year, the pandemic hit and it all came to a stop in terms of being able to perform in front of, you know, human beings in person. And you're a father, you have two kids. You have all these, you know, other projects, film, visual arts, all these other things. How did you go inside? What was that like for you during the pandemic?
Well, for me personally, it was a real relief, because we're still in the pandemic here in Colombia, it's still very strong, but it was a really beautiful and a positive time, you know, especially to connect with the basic things, the most close things, that is family. That if there wasn't a pandemic, I know I would have missed so many things that happened with my kids in this 1 year and a half or whatever. I think today it would be very sad, no? And in terms of the touring and everything, we were kind of, because the first like 10 or 12 years of Bomba Estéreo were of really strong touring. You know, we were like touring all the time. And then when me and Liliana became parents, we stopped a little bit of the touring, and we were a little bit tired of that. So this time was a good time to think a little bit more calm with the music, and hopefully we ended the record before the pandemic. We ended the recording of the record. So we had like 1 year just to mix the record, no? If we had a tour, we would have to mix the record in 2 months or something like that.
Yeah.
So, and in creative terms, for me, it was really positive. And I think that in general for the world and for the system we're living and for everything, that like stopping, you know, like bringing a little bit down everything again and rethinking, what are we doing with the world? What is the system that we're living in? like asking basic questions, and before, in the middle of that rush and everything, you just don't have time to think about, no? What are we doing to nature? What are we doing to animals? What are we doing with the economic system, with the health system, with the education systems? And that time to think is important for me. It's a lesson for humanity, this pandemic. And it's the beginning of a big universal change that happening in the world, that is a change of system and a change of thinking and everything.
Yeah. When you guys write a record, do you and Lee collaborate on all aspects of it, or does one of you come up with ideas first? Do you work on the music vibes first? Does she work on lyrics? Do you work on things together? How's the process?
It's basically always starts from the music, like from musical ideas that I work, me and the guys, because I always work with more people, you know, with more musicians. But it's always start from a musical idea or a loop or it's an electronic track or something that we send to Liliana, and then she does lyrics and that track becomes a song. Oh, and then we start to structure it like more into a pop song, like verses, choruses, and that kind of stuff. But it always starts from like an electronic jam, a loop. And then on top of that rhythmic loop, we start building harmonies and putting synthesizers and then a guitar line and whatever. And when we have like a solid idea, we send that to Liliana. And then she sends it back and we work more around that and we record more stuff and everything. But it's been like a kind of that flow process. Yeah.
And what about the live? Do you love to play live music? Does that aspect of it excite you, or do you prefer to be in the studio, or is it both?
Both. I like both. I think both have this very strong energy. One is an intimate and more isolated energy. No, the studio is more like you're just alone in the studio, in my case, because we work more like in an electronic perspective. We don't write music as a band, but we write music, everyone in his studio, and then we share it, and one records one thing and then the other. And it's a beautiful energy, but then the life is a shared energy, you know, shared energy with the public, because live shows is sharing energy, and the power is the energy that builds up, not only in the stage or only in the audience, but in the middle, that energy in the middle with the music that you're giving, and the people receive it and send you back an energy, and that energy, that's the most beautiful thing of all, and always surprises you, because crowds are never the same and people are never the same. So it's always a surprise, even though you're playing the same set or whatever, but people react different songs in different countries. And so that's beautiful.
Yeah. As a father, how do you navigate these times for your children? You know, it's a really crazy time that we're living in with social media, politically, there's so many things that are happening environmentally. How do you guide your children, and how do you, give them the encouragement, the love, but also just, you know, seeing how social media has just changed everything. How do you instruct them in that?
I'm still learning about that. Parenting is everyday process of learning things. But I try to, especially to give them an environmental awareness, first of all, and empathy. I try to work around those two things all the time, like empathy towards people and empathy towards nature. And then social media, man, my kids are still small, so they haven't got, fortunately, into social media yet, but they will. I know they will. And it's kind of an uncontrollable monster, you know. You cannot avoid it, because it's everywhere. just got a phone and you're in the whole internet. But I don't know, man. I think the way is to give them tools to be prepared to situations, no? To give them the tools, okay, this will happen and you have to be prepared. You have to parent kids very different of how you were parent, because now everything happens more fast and you have access to everything in just a click of a phone. So I think kids are growing like much more faster than before, and they access to negative and positive information much more faster. So you kind of have to talk to them like an adult and prepare them to really strong and nasty things that can happen in social media that you were prepared when you have, like, I don't know, 15, 16. Now you have to do it when they are 10 or 11. Mm. But besides that, as values, I think empathy is like the biggest one. Like, you have to feel for nature and feel for others, no? And you're not alone in this world. We live in a community and we have to respect nature and the others and try to be part of a community and work as a community.
Mm-hmm. I got one last question for you, Simone, which is, how is it that you define what it means to be human? And how do you stay human? How do you hold on to your humanity in this crazy time that we live in?
Yes, crazy times. That's a good question. Interesting. You could write a book, an entire book about yeah. I think it has to do also with empathy that I was mm-hmm. speaking about, no? The being human is like being sensitive. I think the most beautiful things about humans is sensitivity and love. Mm-hmm. And you feel love when you feel empathy for the others, no? That you're not just thinking about yourself and your ego, but you're open to feelings and to art and to nature and to emotions and to senses. And when you develop that and you kind of liberate yourself from the ego, that is very human as well. Ego is very human. But when you become aware that you have an ego and you can put it a little bit aside and feel empathy and be sensitive to the world around you and to the and people and sounds, you're even more human than being just an ego individualistic person. That is kind of what the system is always trying to sell you, you know, that you yourself, you have to be, no, we, it's like more like we. And when you're aware that we are in a world and we live with nature and nature is part of us and we are part of nature, that's like a high human conscience. And love, I think humans, being human is feeling love for yourself, for the others, and for nature.
I hear you, man. And it's a message that we need more than ever right now. So thank you so much for carrying that message through your music and being an inspiration to so many people around the world. And man, I look forward to being able to see you guys out on the road somewhere, because I've never seen you live and it's always been one of my missions, you know, to see you guys perform. So I look forward to that when things start to open up. And until that time, how can folks keep up with you? Are you guys, obviously, you know, Instagram and all those kinds of things, but are there projects that you have that you want people to know about right now?
Yeah, everything on social media, you know, everything on social media. We're doing, well, we have the album, but we're doing a couple of documentaries as well and projects, really beautiful projects that all posted in the Instagram and Facebook and YouTube or whatever. And yeah, man, if you want to bring us to Bali, we're down, man. You just call it and we go, you know.
You come, man. I'm gonna make that happen, man. I'd love that. Awesome. Come out here. Awesome. I'm in my studio here, so we'll just make some music and bring it to the people.
For sure, man. Thank you. Awesome interview. Beautiful.
All right. So If you haven't heard Bomba Estéreo, please go and do yourself a favor and check out their music. It is super inspiring. It's great music to listen to. It's great music to dance to. And even if you don't speak Spanish, the translation of the lyrics is so beautiful. So find the videos that are out there. I was just watching through several of them, the translation videos that are out on YouTube. Lyrics are beautiful and the music is really powerful as well. So do yourself a favor and check it out. As always, we want to say thank you to Gibson Guitars for sponsoring the Stay Human podcast. Peace.